Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you're with us today as we talk about the world of finance, both myself and my co-host here. We're both financial advisors. We spend our weekdays. Now, isn't that exciting? It's your weekend. You're like, financial advisors?
How lucky am I?
I don't know any financial advisors.
No one.
No one who could want to sell me any financial products.
I was looking for that and a realtor.
Yeah, who would know? How do I find such a person? Anyway, we're
just making fun of our own industry and ourselves.
Our industry has a very low reputation, well earned, might state.
Yes.
So anyway, we'd like to think we're kind of above that. Hopefully you would agree with us. We come here every weekend to be your financial advisors on the air. Whether you've got an advisor you're working with now or you do things on your own, we truly hope that you find our program informative and educational. And there's so much noise out there, Pat. I mean, there's tons of information, right? We're in the information age, so yeah, you can get any information on anything.
There's still a lot of poor decision making.
Yes,
though.
And information doesn't necessarily equate to wisdom. And our hope is that our listeners of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, we've been doing this over 20 years, our hope is that our listeners and those who follow our other podcasts and our guides and our videos and et cetera will make wise choices when it comes to their financial decision making. And look, we help people as they prepare for retirement, not because everybody wants to retire as soon as possible, but we all need to get to a position so that work is an option and not an obligation. And the reason I say we need to get there is because roughly half of us are forced into retirement earlier than we had planned. A health issue for ourselves. I got a friend of mine, ran a large organization. The guy is a marathoner. I've ran with him before.
Mm-hmm.
He's maybe early 60s, had to resign from his position because of a heart issue. His doctor's like, this is too much stress for you.
Oh, the job was?
Yes.
Not the running?
No. The job.
Really?
He's a hard worker, Harvard graduate. He's always been a real hard worker. And
the stress is just compounding?
The doctor's like, it's going to kill you. You got to quit. So he had his great position, didn't have any intention of retiring. And
did he quit?
Yes.
Wow.
What are you going to do? It's either that or you die.
Or it changed your...
A couple of weeks ago, the guy who led Fiat Chrysler, 60 Minutes did a program on this guy several years ago.
Brilliant.
The company wouldn't have survived without him. And he lived in both Detroit and somewhere in Italy and fly back and forth nonstop. And he was a working machine. He died at 64.
Yeah. Overworked.
Anyway...
So the point being is that there's a good chance that you're going to leave the workforce prior to the time that you planned on it.
Whether you want to retire or not. Many people want to retire, but it's clear that we have many clients that say, I don't necessarily want to retire. I just want to have more control over my life. So we want to help people be in that position so that work is an option, not an obligation, so they can move into retirement when they'd like to move into retirement.
And it's
but be prepared such that if life happens, their health, a spouse's health, a parent suddenly they got to help out with, a child, who knows?
Well, actually, a comfortable retirement is mostly the biggest factors of the day-to-day decisions that you make during your lifetime preceding that. About, do I allocate more money to my 401k?
Yes.
Or do I go on vacation to a place normally that is more expensive than I can afford. Do I pay down debt or do I take on more debt?
But then when you're at, Pat, when you're at retirement time, though, then it still comes down to that point. Those decisions that you make that could derail. We talked about that in the last program.
And the assessment.
If you missed it, go to our podcast for last week's program, because we spent almost the whole program talking just about how to avoid those kind of financial products that could derail your retirement.
And the assessment of a good financial advisor when you're going into retirement, what your retirement looks like, your standard of living.
Yeah. So we want to join the program. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to join us. We'd love to take your call. 1-888-2-HANSON. And let's go to Glenn in Denver. Glenn, you're with Hanson McLean.
Well, hello there, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Glenn.
So I'll just give you a little background on myself. I am 58 years old, soon to be 59. I am a carpenter in the Carpenters Union, and I have been in there for 38 years. So I receive a pension from them. I also
are you retired now? You're receiving a pension already?
No, I'm okay. Not retired yet. I'm just kind of looking at like 62 or something like that.
All right.
So I have been doing mutual funds for IRAs for 20 some years. My biggest problem is I'm a good saver but a terrible investor. I have a lot of money in my savings account, and I ran across something called commercial mortgage bridge loans. And that's my question for you. There's a guy that touts these, says it's 6% guaranteed. I have investigated it and can't find anything bad about it, but I'm just kind of worried that it's something that's too good to be true.
Well, I think you just finished out that you're worried if something's too good to be good to be true. That is the best way to start when anytime you look at an investment.
And right? what worries you about this?
Because it's 6% guaranteed.
Okay.
And that I have to put at least $50,000 in. And it's tied up for a year.
Okay.
Minimum a year, I guess.
It's a year. It's minimum of $50,000. They pay you monthly on the 6%. They pay you monthly. Then at the end of the year, they give you your principal back.
And who are they lending the money to?
They tell me that they're lending them to commercial businesses like hotels that want to do remodeling, or they're short-term loans.
Okay.
That they give to commercial.
So here's here's what goes on.
Scott, may I before? Yes. Glenn, you started this conversation by saying you're not a very good investor. I would disagree with you. The mere fact.
Correct. He's asking all the right questions.
You're asking all the right questions, and you're worried about the right things.
Makes you
a pretty good investor.
Yes.
Well, the reason I say that is it's because of how much money I have in my savings account.
Well, that doesn't make you a bad investor. That makes you cautious, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No.
So let's get to that a little bit about what to do with the money. But let's talk about this investment to begin with.
Like you mentioned a hotel that's going to do a remodel. I'm thinking there's a couple avenues they can go for financing. One is a bank. But if a bank's not going to do that, there's a lot of other options out there with private equity, with where the rates are
they're
cheaper than
6%.
This hotel example they give, it would be much higher than 6%, because if they're guaranteeing you 6%, there's
right,
also
they're telling me they're charging them 10% for that loan. And
okay.
I don't know of any business right now that would take a 10%.
There you go, Glenn. If the company had to pay 10%, right? You probably don't want to lend it to them because their creditworthiness isn't all that stellar. You could not get me to invest in this.
Now you could buy junk bonds to get you a similar kind of exposure to risk.
Yeah, but you could not get me to invest in this at all. First of all, it's murky. It's very, very murky. We don't actually know who they're lending the money to. There is no guarantee you're actually going to get your money back in a year, in a month, in 10 years, or ever. The interest rate is too high. They're lending to people that have no other resource to borrow the money at a lower interest rate than 10%. wouldn't touch this in the world.
One of our actually,
wouldn't shake out my kid's piggy bank and give it to these to this firm.
I mean, one of the things that we look at is how liquid is an investment, and one of our rules,
and transparent.
Yes, there you go. But one of our first rules is this: is this investment liquid? Can somebody sell it tomorrow? Is there an exchange that it trades on? Because 99% of the time, for the typical American retiree, that's what's important to them. It's an important piece of their portfolio.
What's it worth every day? And if I get rid of it tomorrow.
Sometimes things are structured as a partnership. You're actually a limited partner. I mean, I don't even know what kind of a structure this is.
But you're a good investor, wouldn't touch it. Now, in regards to the money in the bank, let's ask a couple of questions. Glenn, do you have any debt?
No.
Your home is paid off?
The home's paid off. Cars are paid off. Everything's paid off.
Okay.
Well, good for you.
Part of the reason I do IRAs is that's my only deduction.
And the your pension, you've been a carpenter. By the way, this is probably a record in terms of a 38-year union carpenter. That's a pretty long your time as a union carpenter. You've got 4 more years, you said, or 2 more years?
Well, I can actually collect my pension now if I wanted to. I was just going to try to shoot for 62 so I could get Social Security
and
also.
How much will your pension be a month?
The pension is right at $2,000 a month.
Okay. Oh, good. That and Social Security.
And Social Security.
And no debt.
Right.
No debt.
It's pretty.
Approximately how much money do you have in the bank?
Savings. Investments.
$400,000.
And how much do you have invested in these IRAs or other places?
About $150,000.
You could use a little bit more, equity exposure. But it doesn't. I don't think it will matter at the end of the day.
So yeah, you've got there are so many investments between a bank investment and what you just brought up to us. So that you went bank on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being zero risk and 10 being everything you can imagine.
Yeah, you gave us 1 and 10
or 9 anyway.
Yeah,
see, everybody I've been to has asked that question. How much is your risk? Well, I don't want to lose my money.
Yeah.
That's plain and simple. Well, then, how much is my risk? I don't know anybody that wants to lose money.
Of course
so
not.
It's a silly question.
I understand that. So I think what's important is how best to steward these dollars
for
not only today, but also for your future retirement, and with an eye towards inflation and making sure you've got a plan that as inflation kicks in, you can still work there. Obviously, as financial advisors, I actually think you'd be a perfect candidate to sit down with a good financial advisor and have him or her just kind of look at your whole retirement and make some portfolio recommendations. So,
and then build the portfolio that is appropriate towards your retirement, not appropriate to what the person is selling.
Yeah. So
right. So right. What you may have may be the right solution. Or it may not. It depends on whether it satisfies your needs or not, whether it gets you to your ultimate goal. That's all that matters. And the best investment, the right investment for you, is the one that you're going to keep.
That's right.
That's the best investment. So I'm glad you actually called with this question about this, which actually, don't cut yourself short, you're actually a good investor.
Yeah, that's right, Glenn. I mean, just asking those questions and doing some due diligence is your first step. So, yeah, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Are you a sports fan? Each year, teams spend the preseason getting ready for their big opening game. Well, retirement's a little like that. The difference is that instead of a yearly preseason, you spend your career getting your finances in shape for a retirement that could last 25 years or more. Think of Hanson McLean as the coach that gets you ready for your retirement season. For a free retirement readiness consultation, visit us at HansonMcLean.com today.
I'll tell you, Pat, it's interesting times right now, but we are almost 10 years into this bull market.
It's long.
Right? The economy's growing great. I mean, if we look at how the economy grew the second quarter, things are looking good as far as the economy.
The federal deficit scares me. The debt scares me.
Yeah, I got, it's interesting. I think at Hanson McLean, one of the things when we talk with clients about, we try to reduce risk as much as possible. And sometimes we'll have these client these discussions about the overall federal debt. Long, there's certain things that you can't.
Yeah, they're not. It is what it is. And the sometimes the debt. Market, mostly the market ignores it.
It's been amazing that we're, what, over $20 trillion in debt now. And we only bring in, the government only brings in about 75 cents of every dollar that goes out. I mean, when you actually sit and look at the numbers,
if it was
our deficit spending, it's roughly, for every dollar the government spends, we're borrowing 25 cents. Can you imagine running your household like
but,
that?
But, and the defense is to say, well, it's based on GDP as a percentage of the GDP. It's moving right along with the GDP. So the gross domestic product.
Well, as long as the economy grows fast enough, but if at some point in time.
But that you know, the thing that, you know, was troubling to me. So some of these tech stocks too are just, it's just, I worry, is this a dot-com thing all
just a different, it's
over.
A different tech.
Yeah, does this have different, is
well,
it the
throwing
same
all
thing
the tech
different?
Stocks into one category is probably not fair because they talk about the FANG stocks.
Right.
Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. Yeah. Which is actually a company
Alphabet.
But they're
which is FAAN.
They're quite different. Facebook is quite different from Amazon.
Yes. Although their technology stocks, they are quite different. They have different objectives.
Very different.
100%.
Not only that.
One is a retail stock and the other is a media stock.
I would have trouble living without Amazon. I could live without Facebook.
You would you'd live fine without Amazon. You live fine without Amazon for many, many years of your life. You would miss Amazon.
I would miss Amazon.
Your life would be not as plush as...
But anyway, so a lot of these companies, Tesla, a lot of these tech companies, they're priced... Well, we did see some huge decline, particularly in Facebook a couple weeks back, and Twitter, some of the, but they're priced for near perfection.
They are. That is a good point.
So investors have bid them up, not because of what they've done yesterday or what they're doing today, but what they hope they can become tomorrow. That's really what they're priced in.
And when you say their price, what does that mean?
The share price has been bid up by investors to a point that...
Versus their earnings.
Yes.
Because if their earnings had grown as fast as the share price, then it wouldn't be bid up. So when you look at a stock, it's the price to earnings ratio... That
it's
you're looking
huge,
at.
Well, it's
one of the things.
Particularly as you move from accumulating assets while you're young and working to the point at retirement when you're taking income and you need income to last you to your dying day. We're not saying to get out of these stocks or we think they're going to crash tomorrow. But they seem, some of them are a little frothy. And when you look at again, we're talking about probabilities of outcome. Looking at what's the greatest chance of success in retirement, it might be to not go being too overweight in some of these things. Because they some of them do feel a bit, some of the tech stuff feels a bit like 1990,
yeah, 1999. Some of it.
And we were around there as investment advisors.
Some of the market doesn't feel quite.
Not the overall market.
That.
Not even close.
But the point being is don't get overly excited about these things.
Don't get overweight.
A well-diversified portfolio.
Particularly as you're moving towards retirement. It's about reducing risk. That's what this is about, diversifying. It's about reducing risk. And we're in Folsom, California, from talking with Neville. Neville, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello.
Hi, Neville.
You?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good, good.
How can we help you?
Yes, I have a question. I'm looking into possibly investing in a company called Collins Asset Management Group. Are you guys familiar with it?
Now tell me what you know about it, and I will make myself familiar with this as you speak.
And what is it?
What do they do? What
are they, a mutual fund company? And why?
No,
and why
they
them?
They were advertised in Sacramento Bee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. and they offer what the nature of the business is, they do debt management. So they buy debt from banks.
Okay.
For pennies over the dollar, and they resell the debt to the consumers or something like that.
Got it. And what, have you talked to someone from the organization?
I've talked to the person who has advertised in the Sacramento Bee, their sales agent.
And did they
he
come to your
Money Talks Radio?
Is this an ad that says something like guaranteed 8% or something? What's the guarantee?
Exactly. You got it.
So they're doing what it sounds like. What they're doing is factoring. They're doing factoring. So
why don't you explain to factoring with?
What factoring is essentially you go out and buy someone's debt or bad debt or receivables.
Right.
And it could be one, two, or three of those things. The receivables, let's say I own a company and I am selling tires to the military and the military is taking 90 days to 180 days to pay me. I can actually then sell those receivables to someone else and take less money. Let's say that I own this tire company and I sold some tires to a construction company and they're not paying me at all. I can actually then sell that debt for pennies on the dollar.
There's lots of companies out there that'll buy them.
The scary thing about this, and I Googled them real quickly, and I actually went to, I couldn't find their website, but I did find something on LI Strategies about Collins Asset Group. I would start there, and then I would go to our website, and we talked about it on last week's show.
How to do some basic research
on these companies.
Let me ask you this. If you invested tomorrow and a month from now wanted your money out, could you get your money out?
No.
And when could you get your money out?
Okay, there are two programs they have. One is 4 years fixed, and you get 10% after 4 years straight up. And another one is 6 years, but you get the 4 year one, you get 10%
per year.
6 year one, yes.
Okay, and the 6 year one, you get what?
8%. Okay.
Why would you not do a 4 year over if you get more?
Right. The difference in 4 years is you don't get anything until fourth year, and the 6 year one you
get
start getting is. Yes.
Neville, come on. What do you think?
So,
if you did anything, don't do it with more than 3% of your money. But I wouldn't recommend doing that.
I wouldn't do this. So here's the 6 year opportunity that provides a fixed annual interest rate of 7% of funds committed under a dependent agreement. Neville, what is a dependent agreement? What does that mean? Dependent agreement.
I presume the way I would understand dependent agreement is if the company doesn't make money or something, I'm lost.
Listen,
right?
I've only got a degree in business and have been doing this for, I don't know, almost 30 years. I've never heard of the word dependent agreement. I actually Googled the word dependent agreement trying to understand what it means. The only time it's ever used is in child custody cases. So I think they made this up. I wouldn't put a dime into this thing. Not a penny. If I hated you, which I don't, I wouldn't recommend you put any money into this. This screams ripoff.
At least screams of,
come on,
loosely
Scott.
Structured. Come on. Why do they have to go? Look, if the strategy works so well, why do they have to go to the individual investors and offer such great rates of returns? Why can't they go to the big bank and say, look, man, we're killing it in these by buying these receivables. Can we borrow money at 5 or 6%? They'd be sure. Well, heck yeah, all day long.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I mean, that's what you always have to, you know, we wouldn't do it, Neville. Appreciate the call. That's what you always have to ask yourself. If it works so well, why are they looking for my money?
It's not traded on an exchange. You don't know what it's worth.
You have no idea.
Who are the custodians? You're just giving a check to someone. Here's the check. I hope I get my money back.
Here's how that differs from working with an independent company like Hanson McLean or a number of different advisors. Someone like us, we're not saying we got some secret sauce, secret formula that we're going to. We use an independent custodian like a TD Ameritrade, a Fidelity, a Charles Schwab, an independent custodian, your money's housed there. We use publicly traded securities. So you know exactly what the value of your portfolios, and we construct portfolios that are designed to minimize risk to give you the highest probability of success. You invest in something like this. What happens if it doesn't work out? What happens if it's in 4 years down the road and they say, oh, we don't have your money for you? What happens if it's one of these that you read about, of these other Ponzi schemes or scam?
Come on, Scott.
I wouldn't trust that with my anything. Well, hey, we got to take a quick break here. If you want to be part of the program, love to take your call to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON is our contact number. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Want more of Hanson McLean's Money Matters? Visit HansonMcLean.com/radio to get the Money Matters podcast.
All right, welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Glad you are with us on this weekend. At least we think it's weekend. You might be listening to our podcast because we have more and more podcast subscribers. I don't know. I have no clue how many.
I actually went and read the reviews of our podcast.
Were they good?
Mostly positive.
What do you mean mostly?
Mostly positive.
Who doesn't like our program? Oh, it's normal.
I read two reviews and I thought to myself, are you listening to the wrong show? Because one said that with every caller, we recommend they come into our office and visit with us.
No, we don't.
And I thought to myself, I can't.
Every once in a while, it's usually when we're trying to protect somebody, someone's getting really taken advantage of.
Yeah, so only in the most egregious situations.
Now, we'll run ads.
Of course.
Of course, we'd like them to come in, but we don't. We want people to be able to feel welcome to come in.
And we don't care whether you do it yourself or some other advisor does it for you or whatever.
Yeah,
but I read the and naturally because of the Irish guy I am, I mostly just walked away mad about the people that wrote negative reviews and nothing.
Well, by
positive.
The way, if you like our program, Hanson, you go to Apple at Hanson McLean.
You can
iTunes,
write positive
McLean.
I can't ask you to write a positive review because that would be
against our securities rules.
Yeah.
Unless you weren't licensed, then you can do whatever you want. So I imagine just telling sometimes when you see some of these big, the Securities Exchange Commission, if you're a registered investment advisor, as we are, as fiduciary firms are, the Securities Exchange Commission does not allow the use of client testimonials. So we can't say such and such client says
likes
this about
us.
Yeah. So we can't say, oh, if you like us.
We can't say they don't like us either because that's a testimonial as well.
I don't think you'd have a problem with that. I don't think the regulators would have an issue with that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point was, if you don't get our podcast now, subscribe to our podcast because I actually think we have more people listen to our podcast than listen to our live show or a recorded show that's aired on the weekends. And if you're listening on the weekends and you think I'd like to be able to listen to this whenever I feel like it, then...
So when I was younger, in the fifth or sixth grade...
This isn't a long life story, is it?
It's a good life story. I used to, every night when I went to bed, I used to listen to this thing called Mystery Theater.
Every night.
When I would go to bed.
Mystery Theater. The family would gather around the radio.
I would go to bed.
You're not that old.
Just by myself. I had a radio in my room. I would lay down.
Before we had the television. I would crank the generator.
Like I was in the fifth or sixth grade, and I would go to bed at the same time every night and listen to Mystery Theater. It had to be fifth or sixth grade. Sixth or seventh grade would listen to Mystery Theater.
We watched Masterpiece Theater on public television.
I would go, and then, so I thought the other day, I'm going to look up that podcast. And I downloaded the Mystery Theater and tried to listen. Not the same. Not quite the same.
One is the production of entertainment has increased so dramatically.
Significantly. Yes. And two, I'm not the same person I was when I was in the
I'm glad to hear that.
Sixth or seventh grade.
I'm glad to hear that. All right. If you want to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 1-888-2-HANSON is our number. 1-888-2-HANSON. And let's go to Colorado Springs, Colorado, and talk with Ruth. Ruth, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yeah, hi. My name is Ruth from Colorado Springs. Thank you so much for this opportunity that you've given me to be able to ask this question.
Oh, sure. Sure, our pleasure.
Yeah, how are you guys?
Wonderful, thank you. How can we help you today, Ruth?
Yeah, my question is, I have a rental property, but I already bought a house, which is, a retirement house for us. And I want to simplify our lives. Is it okay to, sell that rental property and just to have one house? Because some people say, hey, you need to keep that. That's for investment for the future and things like that. But, I can't think.
I really like this question.
I do too. I always got a kick out of it.
Because you actually started with the word simplify. It wasn't all about the money. And we're financial guys. We could tell you exactly what to do with the money. But your objective is not only the money, it's to simplify. It's to simplify.
Yes.
So with that in mind, let us ask you a couple questions. So what is the value of the rental property?
I will make money, I would say. I will make,
If you sold it today, would it sell for $200,000, $300,000, $400,000? How much would it sell for?
It could sell $260,000.
Okay. And do you owe any money on it?
Yes.
And how much do you owe on this property?
I would say $170,000.
And what did you pay for this property?
How much did they pay for it?
Yeah, how much
did
you pay?
$200,000.
$200,000. And what is the income or the rent that you charge on this property?
Actually, it's just $1,350, and they're telling me that I can rent that out for $1,600 now.
Okay, $1,600 a month.
Which is $1,350 currently.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the fair market rent is probably $1,600 a month or $1,500 a month is the fair market rent. And tell us about you said you bought a house that you're living in now.
Yes.
Do you owe any money on this home?
Yeah, we put down some money, so we still have a little,
How much do you owe on it? On the house you're living in now?
Oh, because this house is around 400, so it's less than
You owe about 200,000?
Yeah.
You owe 400 on it.
So let me ask.
280.
280.
Yeah.
In the rental house.
Around 280, yep. Mm-hmm.
Did you live in the rental house before you bought this house?
Yes.
Okay.
Did.
When did
so
you?
I don't think I pay capital gain on that. When, I know that.
When did you move out?
11, I believe. We bought it 2009 or 8, and then 11.
Okay. So here's the thing. In order to for that to qualify for exemption of $250,000 capital gain. And actually, as a married couple, it could be $500,000 you can exclude from capital gain. That must have been your primary residence for 2 out of the last 5 years.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you would have needed to sell this property within 3 years of vacating it.
And you moved out, you said, in 2011. So you would have had to have sold it by 2014. So if you were to sell this property today, you would pay capital gains tax. It would not be excluded from the capital gains as a primary residence. So that's the first answer. Yes, it would still have capital gains on it. So the first answer to your question is, does it simplify your life? How old are you?
40.
How old?
44.
44. Oh, so you've got a ways, and your husband is of similar age?
What's that?
Is your husband of similar age?
No, he's a little bit younger. He's only 30, almost 40.
Oh, okay.
And will you have any pension at retirement?
Yeah, we're good with that. My husband is really on top of that. So he has a Vanguard and
Okay.
You know, some kind of Apple and other stock, IRAs, you know, diversified.
So
diversified
means. I would not sell this property. Scott,
I wouldn't
either. Thoughts?
I wouldn't
sell this property.
If you were 70,
I might sell this property.
I'd say sell the property.
But you've got a long ways before retirement. You've got a good 16 years.
He will be retiring from military.
Oh, he's going to retire from the military, but he might not.
He will be.
Yeah, but how old will he be when he retires from the military?
Oh, 41.
Okay.
41, 42.
Okay. Yeah. You know, the life expectancy of a 41-year-old.
Is massive.
Is massive. Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, it's large.
I met this week with a 94-year-old client of mine. He's been retired for 37 years. He's 94. He's not going to retire. He's just leaving the military.
Here's what I like. Here's what we like about this, and I can speak for Pat because I know Pat would agree with me on this. So you've got a property now that has a mortgage, and I have a feeling that most of your rent is going to pay the mortgage. You're really not. It's not generating any real cash for you right now. But the day will
it
come.
Does. Yeah.
Okay, but it's not much.
Yeah, once you add in all the expenses.
But the day will come when this mortgage is paid off and the rent's going to go right to your bottom line.
And it's going to be more than $1,500
a month. That's right, because of inflation.
It could be $2,000, $3,000 a month in the next 20, 30 years.
With inflation.
With inflation. So while your husband actually is leaving the military after his 21 years, most people that leave the military at 41 don't retire. They retire from the military. The word retire means to never work again, to leave the workforce permanently. Your husband will not be leaving the workforce permanently.
The risk of having some stress, you know.
So here's what.
You wouldn't know. I know I've been praying. It's been good. You know, God has been good to us.
Yes.
I've been praying for a good tenant. But there's sometimes, you know, you run into problems. And
here's what I would recommend.
I don't know. Simplified life.
Here's what I would recommend.
I wouldn't sell. You called and asked for our opinion. I would not sell this.
And I'm going to tell you how to simplify your life. Hire a property manager.
Hire a real property manager.
A real property manager that pays all of the bills. Have enough cash in their escrow account so that when there's a 2 or 3 month or 4 month period when there's no tenant, no one's calling and asking you for the cash.
Yeah, you want $10,000 in their working account. You want a property manager that it manages at least 300 what they call doors, which means units. You want someone that is qualified. When I owned real estate, residential real estate, I had a property manager.
I own some now. I have a property manager.
And you have a property manager. Oh, actually, we own one together. I forgot about that. We own one together.
That doesn't sound good, by the way.
I know, but I had forgotten about that.
For many reasons.
I had forgotten about that. So you manage that for us, though.
I don't manage anything.
But
I think of a couple of residents I have. I've got a residential home outside of the state I reside.
And you have a property manager.
I have a property manager. I don't do it. I get an email once a month, and I look at them once a quarter.
It's a little bit more expensive. It's a little bit more expensive.
It'll simplify your life.
And it will simplify. And it's a good financial move for you, Ruth. So continue to pray, but buy a property or get a property manager.
Maybe we were the answer.
Uh-huh.
So, but hold on to this house. You're too young to simplify.
I would agree.
You're 44. Your husband.
Well, you can simplify by having a property manager.
That's one. But don't get rid of this property.
No, don't get rid of it.
Don't get rid of it. Hang on to it.
Okay, too young to simplify.
And this is one of the rare
occasions. Simplify by hiring a property manager.
One of the rare occasions where the advice you're getting from your friends is good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We wish you well, Ruth.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. You know, thank you, Ruth. You know, Pat, I cannot think of anyone who's held a residential property for a long period of time that wasn't happy they did.
Correct, but there's always a little bit of rough patches, even with a property manager.
The property manager
does is make it a little bit easier on the day-to-day. You still need to have enough money set aside that if there is a long-term vacancy, you can continue to make the mortgage payments, or if there's some damage to the property, that you can make good on that.
But
but for these people, it makes perfect sense.
Moving in, for as far as accumulating wealth, planning for retirement, ideally you get to retirement and you have multiple income sources. Like, say, so the perfect retirement, or being at least at a stage in life where you could quit working if you wanted to, is being in a position where you've got multiple income sources and a diversified portfolio. And diversified is not just having stocks and bonds. It's also having something like a rental property that provides some income, might have, maybe it's a commercial property, maybe it's even having a partnership interest with some other people on self-storage unit. I mean, there's a number of different things.
A 401k or an IRA or a Roth IRA. There's all kinds of different flows of income that can come into you for retirement. And quite frankly, I don't know if I would suggest that she buy a house in this environment. I don't think it's the best time to buy a rental property. I think that we're closer to the top than far closer to the top of this market than we are to the bottom.
Just because things are both on stock and real estate side.
In most asset classes. But I think that if you've got one and you're in there and you've got a long-term perspective, it's not a bad idea to hang on to it. Especially for Ruth, 44. By the 20 years from now, she could have the house paid off for. She's 64. Taking a monthly income off that?
Well, as you know, if you've been listening to the Hanson McLean's radio program for a while or have come in to talk to this, we're a big fan of having mortgages be paid off at the time somebody retires, right?
Yes.
So ideally, if you're mid-40s and you've got a rental property or two, try to get those rental properties paid off by the time you retire.
All your mortgages paid off.
All, if you can,
because money not going out is exactly the same thing as money coming in.
Yeah.
Money not going out of your house is exactly the when I put solar on my house, the gentleman comes over and he's trying to tell me about all the, you know, everything about solar, why it's such a good thing. What did I do?
You asked if it was going to leak this first heavy winter you had.
Well, no, I didn't.
That's the question I should have asked, because right now my solar panels are off the roof, tied up in the back of the yard. But that's another story entirely.
What the question you asked, I'm sure, which is what's my return on investment? How soon will they pay for themselves? And then how soon will I actually start making money on this?
And having a rental property?
It's the same. There's no difference between solar panels and a rental property, because the reason you put solar panels up there is so that you could lower your expenditures going out.
And I want to be part of the green team and lower the coal emissions.
Thank you. And that's a good thing, too. So,
well, let's instead of taking some more calls at this point, I apologize. What? You're looking at me weird.
So I was, isn't that where Pike's Peak is, Colorado Springs?
Yes.
When my son graduated from Denver University, we went to celebrate, and we went to Colorado Springs to spend a couple days. We went whitewater rafting, and we got on this bus and went to the top of Pike's Peak, and then we unloaded these bicycles and we rode all the way down. So it's 14,000 feet. Which didn't scare me at all. Riding the bike down was not worrisome. But driving the van, in the van, up to the top of Pike's Peak with this, it wasn't narrow, but it's a big van. And the guy that is driving is telling stories all the way up and waving his arm back and forth, back and forth.
You are a nervous passenger.
And there's 1,000-foot drop-offs right next to. And so finally at about 11,000 feet, and I'm looking at this, I put my head down with a coat over my head and just couldn't look. I was so happy to get off that van. But he was waving his arm, telling stories all the way up, and he was tailgating people, and he's a 10-passenger van.
Well, we should have had that discussion when we had Ruth on the phone in Colorado Springs, and not
good
now.
It would have
been a little more interesting. Let's transition to the Hanson McLean's Money Matters right now, and let's talk real advice. This is a segment that we do periodically where we talk to an advisor at Hanson McLean and hear about an experience that the advisor had with one of our clients, customers that we work with. So this week, and by the way, the experience that you are going to be hearing is different, maybe different from an experience that you would have at Hanson McLean, and this is not designed or intended to be any sort of client testimonial whatsoever. But perhaps maybe a testimony of our great advisors that we have at Hanson McLean, because we've got a team of great advisors. So we've got Lori Cairo joining us today, and Lori is a certified fund specialist, also been an advisor with Hanson McLean for almost a decade, and works out of our Roseville office. So Lori, thanks for being part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters today.
Good morning. Good to have me. Thanks for having me here. And
glad you are with us. So, Lori, tell us about the situation you were, what's going on with this client? Yeah.
Okay, well, I thought about this particular client. She, when she came to us and became a client, she was 68, and she was planning to retire anywhere between 2 to 5 years, and it was really dependent on how long she wanted to work, and, you know, she really loved her job and so forth. And so she's been a client for a while, about 18 months, and last summer she was actually diagnosed with cancer. So, you know, this is one of the life events that kind of happens and maybe changes the trajectory of your retirement plans.
Yep.
And in her case, with the cancer diagnosis, she was continuing to work, but then just recently she was forced layoff, conveniently laid off of her job, and I think for the health reasons, but now she has a change in job status. And another thing that came up was she wanted to be close to her son, and her son that lives in the Bay Area recently took a job transfer to Texas. So,
so okay. She's got three life events that happen almost simultaneously, which is family moves away. It sounds like she's single, and that her health changes dramatically for the worse, and her job status changes.
Right, right. All three kind of in conjunction or as a trickle-down effect, just all happening in the same time period. So, and these are things that 2 years ago when she and I first met, these weren't even in the conversation. They might have been, you know, kind of outliers or just, you know, risk factors and things we wanted to think about.
But, isn't that interesting, Lori? Because you've been a financial advisor for a long time. And when we talk to people and you do some financial plans, I mean, we all make plans, but then life happens, right? And so, I mean, the financial planning is really an ongoing process. It's like, well, let's make these plans based upon these assumptions. But when life happens, when things change, then our financial planning needs to adapt and change along with that.
Exactly. And in her case, we had a very good financial plan put in place originally. And so it's just kind of modifying and, structuring the budget and looking at her retirement income needs and making some minor changes, right, based on these life situations that, in my opinion, really is making the transition. She's in retirement transition a little more smooth for her and a little bit more palatable given her other, you know, focus on her health and her other situation.
And is she in a financial position where she can afford to, make, like, for example, stay in her house and those sort of things?
Yes, yes, very much so. That was originally in the plan. She has a very a good handle on her budget and a very good retirement nest egg. And one thing I was thinking about as well, you know, there might be listeners out there that might not think they'd be in this situation, but might wonder where they might go if they were in the situation. I had a very similar conversation, ironically, this morning with another client in the exact same situation as her, the trifecta of all of these things, a health scare for him, which was a heart attack, and then now a job change, maybe disability and some job status change, and again, a potential move out of state just to work on the budget and look at where they really want to end up in their retirement years. So I thought it was just ironic, two clients going through the same kind of situation. There must be more people out there that might be going through the same
thing. And this woman that you referred to, her son moved from the Bay Area to Texas. Did she move as well?
She is in the process now. I'm helping her. She's putting her house on the market.
Wow, that is a big change in her life.
Exactly, but it's probably better in her situation to be closer to family. That's where she wants to be, and given her situation and
particularly with some health issues.
So Lori, are you
still living in Texas?
Are you seeing
lower right than California?
Are you seeing lots of at least having the conversation with a large number of clients that are talking about moving to a lower income tax state, and how many people are actually pulling the trigger on that?
Well, you know, I do have the conversation does come up. The ones that actually pull the trigger, I think, are when they are retiring. But I have many retirees that live in, you know, Washington, Arizona. I had clients that just moved to Iowa. So we do have, you know, a lot of clients that end up moving out of state. We're still able to work with them in that capacity. But it is happening more and more, I believe.
But I think the bigger interesting thing here, Lori, is oftentimes people follow their kids, right? So that's where her son went, and grandkids you had mentioned. But it's sometimes it's the health. We have a health issue, and it puts a different focus on.
Oh, yeah, view of life.
Yes.
So thank you very much,
thanks,
Lori, for joining us. Glad you are part of the team at Hanson McLean and that you continue to serve your clients as well as you do. Appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Lori. Yeah, it's interesting, Pat, because I mean, we've certainly seen that enough over the years. There's a health issue. Suddenly your view on...
Well, financial planning is linear by its very nature with lots of different inputs and outputs. So when you do a financial plan, it is nothing more than a plan.
Based on a lot of hopes, frankly.
Correct.
I hope I live to 95. I hope my
I hope I have
I
this job. I hope I stay married. I hope.
I hope my house doesn't burn down.
So, and the reality is a financial plan will change. And a good advisor will actually tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Sometimes they'll tell you what you want to hear. But more importantly, a good advisor will tell you what you need to hear. And the second person she talked about, it sounded like they were moving out of state because they wanted to maintain a standard of living. And sometimes to maintain a standard of living, a type of home in a type of area, you have to move to a lower cost living state.
For most people, unless you're phenomenally wealthy, there's trade-offs you have to in life, right?
Constantly.
Right? There's certain trade-offs. We all have a finite amount of assets. And we have some sort of lifestyle desires, and we have to make sure those all match. And for some people, to make things work, they do look at moving. Or they choose to work longer. Or there are a variety of things. But a good financial advisor will help you analyze all those.
You ask the what-ifs.
Yeah, and here's what would happen if you do this. This is what to expect. So we're out of time, unfortunately. We are here every weekend at the same time. If you don't subscribe to our podcast yet, feel free to hansonmclain.com. And if you're like, I don't even know how, we've got a little video that teaches you how to download and subscribe to our podcast. So we're out of time. It's been great being with you. This has been Hanson McLain's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLain Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.
What matters most to you? Probably family and friends, but what else? When you're in your 20s, it's one thing. Your 30s and 40s, another. When your 50s creep in, you're older and wiser, but the sand in the hourglass of your asset accumulation stage has shifted. Right now, you're listening to Scott Hanson and Pat McLain. Sure, they've been hosting Money Matters for 20 years, but they've been CEOs of Hanson McLain Advisors for longer than that. If you're over 50 and you've been saving for retirement, you're probably wondering how your preparation stacks up. Here's what you should do. Go to HansonMcLain.com and either schedule a free consultation with one of our credentialed advisors, or if you're not quite ready for that, maybe take a look at some of the helpful materials in our learning library. You'll see tutorials, podcasts, and articles on things like Social Security, retirement planning, investments, and a whole slew of other things that can help you retire well. Over 50 and starting to see retirement up ahead? Make sure you do it right. We can help. Go to HansonMcLain.com today.